of the life of Christ. And of course, the Gospels open with the birth, which is our focus this morning. John's Gospel gives us the perspective, we could say, from heaven to the earth, a divine perspective. And before we go to Luke for our text this morning, I'd like to read from John 1. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Then in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's a divine perspective, isn't it? Of the incarnation, of the coming of Christ, who he was, that he was the eternal Word who was with God and who was God and became flesh and dwelt among us. Luke's Gospel gives us a perspective, we could say, from the earth looking up. And we start, of course, with the Mary and Joseph on their journey, and we're going to pick it up where we meet the shepherds in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. Verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." Now, these shepherds were the bottom of the social scale. They weren't recognized to be much in the society of the time. They weren't known to be clean or religious or significant. And yet, this is who the Lord chooses to make this great announcement to these lowly shepherds on a hillside watching their sheep. The angel doesn't go to Herod or to the leaders in Jerusalem, but he sends a messenger to these shepherds. And this is very much like the gospel, the spirit of the gospel, that God came to a peasant girl, to an old priest, to these shepherds on the hillside, from heaven right to the dust, meeting man right where he is. And these shepherds, there was nothing significant about them. They were not special, and yet their lives were just about to change. I want you to think of that. I want you to think of that for a moment. There they were on the hillside watching their sheep, nothing different about that night than any other night, but they were about to have heaven open to them. They were about to hear the gospel. Their lives were about to change. Perhaps you remember that day also when your life changed, when you heard the gospel, when you met Christ. I remember somehow, by the grace of God, stumbling into a little Bible study in Bromley over 30 years ago, and never heard the gospel before, and that night my life was to change forever. That's what was to happen here with these men. All of a sudden, verse 9, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Perhaps we can understand that, imagine that a little bit. That they were greatly afraid. Wouldn't you and I be also? And we say perhaps every angel who is ever told they have to go to earth with a message and meet a human being, the first thing you should say to them is, "Do not fear." Because that's certainly the result. In this case, it was with Mary, it was with Zacharias, and it was with these shepherds. It says they were greatly afraid. There's real emphasis there. Verse 10, "So therefore the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. And all that's the gospel, isn't it? Hello? Isn't it? This is the gospel. Good news that brings great joy to all people. Not just good news, but we would say the best news, the greatest news that could ever be heard, that could ever be believed, that could ever be discovered in someone's life, that unto you a Savior is born. And this, of course, echoes the prophecy of Isaiah when Isaiah said in 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But the angel doesn't say unto us, he says unto you, because the Savior was for fallen men. So unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior. There it is. And the key phrase right here is there is born to you a Savior. That's why he came. What do saviors do? They save. And there's only one. And his name is Jesus. A Savior is born. Then he gives them a sign. Verse 12, this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And of course, this was to identify the baby and also to help their faith when they would come to find him, to see him. It would be unusual that a baby would be laid in a manger, which is the feeding trough for an animal. That would be a significant sign. When they arrived, they would say, oh, this is the baby, this is the child. And we're reminded here, I want you to notice, it says that he's wrapped in swaddling clothes and he'd been laid in a manger. In Luke, at the end of the gospel, in 23:53, it says they wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in a tomb. That's speaking of his body, Jesus' body. At the beginning of the gospel, they lay him in a manger. They wrap him in cloth and they lay him in a manger. And at the end of the gospel, they wrap his body in linen cloth and lay him in a tomb. And we understand as Christians, as Spirit-taught, Bible-taught Christians, we understand that the manger scene and the tomb, they are connected. For this is why he came. To be the Savior, for he was not Savior by virtue of his birth, but he was Savior by virtue of his death. So, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Now think of it for a moment. It's enough that there is an angel there and his light is shining around them and they are in wonder of what they see. They can't believe what is happening. But in this moment, the curtain is fully pulled back. Those angels were already there, watching, present, but all of a sudden they appeared. The curtain was pulled back and these shepherds were able to see and of course hear a heavenly host of angels. And it was on this word. Notice, when the angel says there is born to you in this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this is a sign to you, you will see him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly on that word, in light of those words and that truth, that was enough for the heavenly host to burst into the greatest hallelujah chorus you could ever imagine. Because from the angelic perspective, they have an understanding of who this was, who was being born in the manger. And they marveled at the humility of God, the love of God, that he would become a man and walk as men and die for men. And on that word, as the angels looked in and considered that announcement by the angel, that the eternal word would become flesh. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. And what did they say or sing? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. This is the first point. Glory to God. This is the first aspect of the gospel. It is not glory to men, For we glory in nothing when it comes to the gospel. For what did we do to be saved? But to accept the gift of salvation. For Ephesians 2:8 says we are saved by what? Hello? Grace through what? Faith. And then it says, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, lest any man should glory. There is nothing for us to glory in the gospel, but glory to God. And that's what they sang. And then the other part, peace to men. Glory to God and peace to men. This is what the gospel brings. And it says, to bring peace to men. This phrase is a curious one to translate. You'll read different translations. The NASV says, on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. The ESV says, on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So it's peace extended with the possibility to men. But which men? The men with whom he is pleased. And how do we please God? 11:6 of Hebrews says, it is impossible to please God without what? Faith. This is in whom God is pleased, those who have faith, who look to him and believe. And it is to those men and women that peace is granted. And this aligns with Romans chapter 5, verse 1, which says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have Romans 5:1. We have peace with God. Right there, Margaret. Yeah. We have peace with God. Let me say that again. Therefore, being justified by what? Faith. We have what? Peace with God. Glory to God and peace to all those who have extended faith in Christ and understand that he is their Savior. Verse 15. Next verse, Roland. And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And here are the shepherds, they're looking up into the heavens. The angels are singing, glory to God in the highest. And they are watching. All of a sudden, the curtain is drawn back again. It is quiet. Maybe the fire is crackling and the sheep are bleating and they are like, what? They look to one another. What just happened? I don't know, but look, let us go now, one of them says. And they all agree, let us go now to Bethlehem. Let us not wait. Let's not wonder. Let's not discuss it anymore. We have heard the message. Let us go now, it says. I love that word, now. Not tomorrow. Let us go to Bethlehem now. For Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. What does that mean? It means that there are times in your life where God is more easily found than others. This was a time, this was a night, this was a divine appointment for these shepherds to go now and to see and to find, to look into the face of the Savior. Oh, don't put it off. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till life is perfect. It will never happen. But now go to Bethlehem. Now believe and take steps of faith. And notice they say, let us go now to Bethlehem and what? See this thing that has come to pass. Do you notice the faith in those words? Not to see if this is true, but to see this thing that has come to pass. They believed. And what's beautiful, I don't think I knew this before. Perhaps I did. You forget many things. But this word thing, see this thing that has come to pass. You know what Greek word that is? Rhema, come and let us see this rhema, this living word that has been made known to us, that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Don't you love that? that the Lord has made known to us. And couldn't we say the same thing as Christians, as Bible believers, as those who have heard and believed and understood the gospel, that the Lord has made known to us? Isn't that what the New Testament teaches? That the natural man cannot perceive the things of God in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but we have received the Spirit of God that we might know. That this is not a mystery to us. We are not blindly celebrating Christmas with all its trimmings and trappings without understanding what it really means. But we are illuminated. We understand who Christ was and why he came. And when we sing the hymns and the carols, we sing them from the heart and we sing them with faith. Don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Verse 16, let's conclude this. Verse 16, and they came with haste. Now, I don't know who haste was. Do you know who that was? One of the shepherds, one of the sheep. Let's bring haste along with us. They came with haste. They came quickly. They came as quickly as they could. They swiftly went to Bethlehem saying, listen, oh, if this is true, this can't wait. Let's go. Listen. Let's go. Let's not wait. Let's believe. Let's go with haste. And what did they find? They found Mary and Joseph and the babe, the definite article babe, the babe who was promised, who was told to be the Christ, the Lord, the Savior. And they found him lying in a manger. And in that moment, oh, this is the one. He's lying in a manger. This is the sign. Why does it say that? Why did they need that sign? Because the baby wasn't glowing with heavenly light, as we see on the Christmas cards and in the movies, perhaps. There was nothing about this baby that was any different visually from any other. So there was a sign, and we heard the verse read earlier. There was no beauty about him that he would be desired. From birth to the cross, he was a normal human being, a normal man in that sense. Yet God with us. So they came, they found Mary and Joseph, they saw the baby lying in the manger, understanding that this was the one the angel had spoken of. And it says in verse 17, and when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They came, they saw, they believed, and then they went and told others. This is what did they make known? They made widely known what? The saying which was told them. What saying? What the angel had said in the earlier verses, when the angel had said, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That is the saying that they made known. And that is the gospel. They had a message. They had some good news. That's why we're an evangelical church. That's why I became a missionary, and that's why I'm a pastor. That's why we share our faith, because this is good news. Tradition says these shepherds became the shepherds of the Bethlehem Evangelical Free Church. No, I'm just kidding. But they went and told. The Greek word comes from the word evangel that is here. They went and made known the good news. How could they keep that a secret? Verse 18, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I think of many that I've shared the gospel with that have marveled, that have wondered. But that's not enough. You must believe. You must believe and put your faith in him. Oh, let our hearts wonder though this morning. Verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Love these words. As it was told them. I think these shepherds were different men from before. I think this was a life-changing moment in their life. How could they ever be the same? And that's how I feel as a Christian. Okay, there weren't angels and announcements and a heavenly chorus, but there was a quickening, a change, a Spirit of God in our life, that this book is open and we marvel at it and we say, how could I ever be the same? How could I ever just go and live my life and let this take, have this on the shelf and let this be sidelined in my life? Oh, this is so crucial, so important that it must be centered and it guides my life. It's the focus of my life. For they had heard and they had found something. They believed it and they made it known. And we love this. And when they returned, they were glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. And that's us this morning. Praising God for all that we have heard, all that we have seen, all that we have experienced. That the Holy Spirit has persuaded our hearts. And we have a conviction that we share. Jesus is our Savior. There is no other. So, Father, we pray this morning. We thank you for this passage, this message, this gospel. Oh, that a Savior was born. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the gospel that God so loved the world, he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. Perhaps there's someone listening today. You're not sure of your salvation. Oh, don't put it off, but go with haste to Bethlehem. Go quickly in your heart to the throne, to the Lord, and say, oh, Jesus, I want to put my faith in you as my Savior. I trust you. Thank you for giving me the gift of eternal life by your grace through faith. We pray for one another. We pray for this church family. Going into the Christmas season, we pray for your comfort, your visitation, your strength, your courage, your help in these difficult times. We trust you for our brothers, our sisters, those here today, those that are watching, those that can't be gathered with us. Oh, for a blessing on our church family this Christmas and into the new year, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.